bless this evening to us as we look to your word and Father, this amazing topic. And it is just ridiculous for us to think that we'll be able to even get much into it in just the little time that we have tonight. But do help us. We pray that you'd anoint us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. It's verses 9 to 14. It is our theme on this special series that we're doing on Wednesday nights, the Life and Bible series. And we've been going through a lot of topics, and we've got quite a few topics left to go through. And tonight, I want to give you this disclaimer right up front. We have been faithful to complete every one of the topics every Wednesday night, but tonight might be different. I intend to complete this topic, but it might be too big. And that is being a Christian while being a parent. And what does a Christian parent look like? And these are the images we've been putting up every week going through this series. A Christian parent looks just like any other parent. They look the same. They look the same as any other parent, but there's something different about a Christian parent. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. If we are Christians, what does that really do? How does that really translate in life to our children? And you might say tonight, well, Jack, I'm not in that place right now. I'm single. Parenting is the furthest thing from my mind. I understand that, but stay tuned this evening because every one of us, listen, every one of us have been affected by parenting. Every one of us tonight, we're children of someone, are we not? And tonight matters, even if you're young and you're single and you're free and it's just the last thing from your mind. You're thinking, what did I come here tonight for? Well, listen, there's stuff in here for you. And there's stuff in here for us who are even older. Our kids are older now and you're wondering, well, I'm a grandpa now. What does it matter now? I mean, I'm not, but maybe you might be. And you're saying, you know, what's that all about? You know what? It matters. And you're going to see why in a moment as we get into the study. Being a Christian and being a parent. And I'm going to be kind of direct tonight because I are one. That is, I am a parent and I had parents. And I'm looking around here and every one of you had parents too to some degree. Some of you maybe possibly was an orphan of some sorts and you were brought up maybe from foster home to foster home. I don't know. But you did receive some sort of parental guidance somehow, somewhere. How does that translate into our lives tonight? And where was God in all that stuff? We want to ask the question tonight. If I was brought up in a rotten, terrible, abusive home, where was God in all that stuff? And we're going to look at these things tonight. And if we don't get to it tonight, we'll pick it up next week together. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, down to verse 14. It is our theme, and it is this. Paul the Apostle says to the church at Colossae, he says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His, that is God's will. What an awesome thing that you would know God's will for your life. And look, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in this, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. That is, that God's power is what we rely upon. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, that is, God's done the saving. We follow Him. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, that's hell, in death and the grave, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, that is, Jesus died for us on the cross, and this is what it resulted in, the forgiveness of sins. And so tonight, as we look at this topic about being a Christian and a parent, I first want to say a couple of things before we get to the first point. Listen carefully. Parenting and being a parent, in my opinion, has no match or equal in human life. And let me explain what I mean by that. You can be the wealthiest person tonight in the world. You can be the most powerful person tonight in the world. You can be the most beautiful person tonight in the world. And none of that, what the world says, is the pinnacle of having everything. What if you are the most beautiful, richest, powerful person in the world, all wrapped up into one person? Guess what? It does not translate into being a successful parent. You could be the Donald Trump of the economic world or the investment world, or whoever is the top model, or whoever is the whatever. And listen, whoever and whatever you and I are tonight, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are successful at parenting if we are successful at making money or successful at being a corporate tycoon or whatever it is. We've got to understand something. I believe that parenting, there's no equal to it in all of the world. Because you might be able to run a nation, but it doesn't mean you're going to be able to raise a child. And this is a big deal. I'm going to be passionate about this topic because you know what? And I didn't make this statement up. I'm stealing it from those of the past. But as the family goes, so goes the what? The nation. How do you know what tomorrow's America or world will look like? Just look at today's family. And that's a scary thought. 50% of America's families are broken. They're divided and split up. And we'll talk about those things in future studies, but I just want to stress the fact that these are issues that we can take that our world says is successful and wonderful and fantastic, and it doesn't translate into being a successful parent. And what does it mean to be a successful parent anyway? And let me say this before we get started. Biologically, children happen. You know what I mean? Biologically, children happen. And I'm not talking tonight about creating a human being in the sense of, you know, oh, I've made a child. What is that? It seems like young people, they can almost bump elbows and they get pregnant. I'm not talking about fathering a child in the sense of passing on some DNA. I'm not talking about getting someone pregnant that makes you a parent. I mean, it's almost safe to say anybody can get anybody pregnant. That doesn't make you a parent. Did you hear that? It does not make you a parent. A parent is what you choose to do. You can father a child or you can labor and give birth to a child. That doesn't make you a parent. In fact, while I'm on that topic, how about this? Parenting is such a spiritual, God-ordained event, as we will see in the Bible, that, listen, it doesn't matter if you biologically produce a child or you adopt a child. The issue is parenting. Those of us who are Christians, what does the Bible say? We have been adopted into the family of God. Does He not parent us? Absolutely. Have you been adopted or have you been brought forth through normal biological means, raised in what would be called a normal family? Listen, parenting is something that we as people need to consult God's Word because, listen, just like the definition of marriage, God defines it in the Bible, parenting is defined in the Bible. And a lot of people don't know the first thing about parenting. And the tremendous thing is babies come out. Or you adopt a baby and they don't have instructions tied to their leg like a good old lawnmower does. I can go to Home Depot and get a weed whacker and it's got all the instructions on there. But a baby comes out, the most advanced thing in the universe, and it's got no instructions. Where do you start this thing? Or where do you plug it up? what is this? The answer's right here. If we'll look and if we'll listen. But biologically, it's true, children happen, but spiritually is what we're going to focus on. Spiritually, children are made. Spiritually. And I'm talking about the development of a human being, not just the making of one in the sense of creating, in the sense of procreation. But I'm talking about tonight, as we look at parenting, the imparting, the infusing, the development of an infant. Listen, from a toddler to a child, from a child to an adult. This is a very serious thing because somewhere along the line, so much in our culture, people barely make adulthood status. Though they get old, they get older, all right, but they've lost the skills or they were never given the skills of what a home ought to be like. How should you be loved as a child? And how should a parent love? And I like to put it this way concerning our relationship with God and with our children or with our parents, that Jesus Christ radicalized man's relationship with God when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, you guys, we don't even get it. We don't scarcely even begin to see what Jesus did when he shook the world by making this announcement. In Matthew 6, 9, Jesus is therefore, when you pray, pray what? Our Father. You guys, that shakes the world. And it shook the world then. Jesus was saying, when you pray, talk to God. He's your Father. No one had ever said that before. Jesus reveals the heart of God to us. And what is it? The heart of a father. God wants you to know him as a father. And then Paul repeats it to the church at Rome. To all those Italians, he wrote in Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father. God wants you to see him as he is, your Father. 1 Corinthians 1:3, Paul spoke to the Greeks, and he said, grace to you and peace from God our Father. God wants to be your Father tonight. And even in heaven itself, in 1 John 5:7, the Bible says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And God announces himself as Father. That's awesome. So listen, every one of us tonight, let's be honest, let's be transparent and real. The moment you hear the word parent or father or mother, all of these thoughts or a kaleidoscope of pictures or emotions might begin to go in our minds. Some maybe tonight have had awesome upbringings and you, in fact, have raised your children in a wonderful way. But not all people can say that. But the great thing is tonight, if we let God be God, we are Christians first. And the Lord will instruct us as to how to be parents. And you might say tonight, Jack, I have already crashed my family. I've ruined my home. I don't even want to hear about this topic. But wait. There's great hope. If you're thinking tonight you have completely failed as a parent, I'm going to ask you to just hang on and wait. Because God will even use that to the glory of his name and to the healing of your heart and to the blessing of your family, no matter where they may be tonight. It's an important thing. Jot it down. Number one, there's 10 points. I don't know how far we'll get. I'll make you no promises. But do jot it down. This is important to us. Point number one about being a Christian and being a parent in this day and age. Number one, a Christian parent prays for the wisdom of God. Listen, how many parents do we have here in the church? Raise your hand tonight. A lot of parents. Listen, if you've been a Christian and you haven't been much for prayer, one of the most fantastic motivators for prayer is to have a kid. I'm telling you, they will teach you more about God and more about yourself. I mean, it's just amazing. But God says, I want you to pray. And praying, we pray down the wisdom of God upon the relationship of this new child or these children in our lives. And as parents, we are developing the future of our children and we need to pray. Please hear me. None of us have been given the skills in and of ourselves to produce kids that just walk on water and glow in the dark and all this stuff. It's going to take prayer. God wants us to pray. The Bible says in James 1 verse 5, if anyone of us lacks wisdom, hello, that's us. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we want to ask God. And a Christian parent, what makes a Christian parent different than a non-Christian parent? The Christian parent realizes this kid has been given to me by God and I need to pray for this child. You see, Jack, my child is 35 years old. Pray for him or her. Never stop praying for them. Will you not always be their parent? Yes. Then always pray for them. Pray for them. And they need prayer. And so we pray. In fact, we read just a moment ago in Colossians 1:9, Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you. And shouldn't that first apply to our own family? Church, listen, I don't care if you belong to a prayer group, a prayer club, a prayer team. I don't care if you're on the prayer chain. If you are not praying for your children, mom and dad, then what in the world are you doing? Pray for your kids first and then pray for other people. Your kids need prayer. Hey, when's the last time you visited a school campus? If you need a little bit of oomph about praying for your kid, go to a college campus. Go to a high school campus and look what's going on. You'll be encouraged to pray. Just life itself. I can barely deal with the commercials that are in between the news programs I'm watching. Our kids are being bombarded constantly by stuff. The Christian parent wants to pray for the wisdom of God in raising up this child. We want to pray for them. A great verse. You know this verse. It's my life verse. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Pray this prayer. In fact, you see, Pastor, I would love to pray for my kid. I don't know how. This is how. Are you ready? In fact, look at that. Watch it. Looks like your kid wrote it, even on the screen there. Check this out. This is how you pray. Lord, I'm bringing Junior up before you right now, or Little Miss America up before you right now. Father, I'm praying for my child. I'm asking you, Lord, I'm asking you to take Jeremiah 29:11 and make it their life, Father. And I pray this, for it says there that you know the thoughts that you think toward my kid, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give them a future and a hope. And you pray, Lord, I'm asking you to fulfill that prayer in my child's life. Pray like that. Job was an amazing man of God. You know Job? The poor. Whenever you hear the name Job, what do you think about instantly? Exactly. Pain and suffering. Poor guy. The guy was an awesome man of God. He was incredibly wealthy. He was the most wealthiest man of the East, it says. Very, very bright. Super blessed. Loved God. And listen to this, Job chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and so it was when Job's children had ended their days of feasting and partying. That doesn't mean they're doing anything bad. They were just celebrating. That Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning. Listen, Dad. Listen, Mom. And offer a burnt offering according to the number of all of them. He had 10 kids total. For Job said, it may be that they have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did on a regular basis. He did this regularly. What an awesome dad. What an awesome parent. Praying for his kid. When a child knows that his parents or his parent is praying for him or her, that does wonders for them. It's an encouragement. It's a great thing. Point number two tonight, being a Christian while being a parent, this is what we want to do. A Christian parent searches out God's word. Man, I need to find out what God's word says about kids and what to do about it. As parents, we are developing, listen, God's plan for our children. That is, let me put it to you this way. We are not engineering God's plan for our children, but God will use us in the bringing about of God's plan for our kids' life. And where's that found? But in the Bible. How valuable, listen, any kids in here, any young people, how valuable are you? So valuable that God has revealed the plan for your life in the Bible. And as a parent is to find out what that is for your life. And a parent is to direct you in that course. Now, this is maybe not make any sense to you, but it does to me. Searching out God's word and finding God's plan for your child's life, I believe is easier than what we think. We often make things so difficult. We're really good at that. We make things sometimes so unattainable and so tough. And does not God know us? Does he not know how frail we are? He knows how frail we are. I think the Lord wants to make it easy. And let me tell you something, and I mean this. If you have little ones, and I don't, you know, what's a little one today? I'm gonna say like 5 years of age and under. How about that? So check this out. How do I search out God's word and instill a plan in their heart to see what God wants for their lives? You know what? Go to Genesis 1:1 with your kids. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And Lisa and I we want to make sure that tonight we confess to you that we have not been the perfect parents. Ask our kids. Ask them. They go here. Ask them. But we've tried really hard, but we have failed. But we've tried really hard, and we keep trying, and we keep failing. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect children. Keeping that in mind, I'll share with you some things that may or may not bless you. But if you've got a little one, or you've got some little ones on the way, my thought is this. If I can take my kid to Genesis 1:1 and unfurl the first page of the Bible to them, this is how it looked to my kids, our kids, growing up in our house. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you know what we did? And we have pictures of this. We looked at Genesis 1:1, and then we would go down to the video store back in those days. There was those big videos, cassettes, and you put them in, and we would rent videos on nature. America. What's Wild America? And who's that other guy? The old man, Mutual of Omaha. Remember that guy, Marlon Perkins, or whatever his name is? And he's, you know, wrestling an alligator, whatever the thing is. And we would have this stuff, and we would go, look at this. Look what God made. Look what God did that. Look at that funny thing. That's a koala bear. God made the koala bear. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then we would take our kids outside. We did this all their life. My daughters often, you ask them still, they're old people now. And I'll say, come outside, look at this, I'll still do it. I want them to see either the funny bug that's under that rock, or look at the sky, look at that, there goes a satellite, or look at that, that's Jupiter. Why is that important? It absolutely reveals to a child, and the parent's been given that authority. Mom and dad, you have been given an authority that when you tell your kid, listen, look at that. God made that little guy. Look, and when you touch him, he rolls up in a little ball, and you can scoot him along like this. And then watch. Just wait a minute. He'll come out. When he thinks it's safe, he'll come out. Oh, look, there he goes. He looks just like a Volkswagen. Little beetle, little bug. Look, there he goes. And when you get, listen, go home and get on your hands and knees with your kids. With the Bible open. I'm dead serious. I am not joking. Do this. Get it out there. And take Genesis 1:1 and open it up. And then take, all you have to do is open a, pick up a rock. There's a lot of stuff under a rock that will flip your kids out. Bugs, worms. Whoa, what's that? God made that. And they go, ooh, wow. And then you tell them, is that amazing? Yep. Do you think God can take care of you? Yep. Do you think God made you? Yep. When your little ones begin to understand, yep, God did that. And when you point to those stars and you say, look, God made all of those stars for us to look at. Do you know what that communicates to a kid? It's amazing. And it's easy to tell them, listen, Junior, God's got a plan for your life. And they get encouraged. And you show them how these, I don't know, personally, I believe, hear me out, I believe God gave us two Bibles. One we have in our hand, and the other one we can observe through nature. God made them both. Neither they're both in perfect harmony with each other. One explains the other. The fingerprint of God is on both. And when you see that thing walk by, what in the world is that? That's a giraffe, or that's a donkey, or that's a whatever. Tell your kids about it. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. Take them outside. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Listen to this. Day unto day they utter their speech, and night unto night they reveal knowledge. Isn't that awesome? There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man who runs a race. The sun streaks across the sky. God says, listen, I've got a perfect plan going on. And you teach your kids, if God is that specific, if God is that awesome about his creation, you're more important than the sun that gives us warmth or the wind that moves the trees. Christian parents, we always want to direct our kids to the Lord. And you do that graphically. I would like to say technicolor. Getting on your knees, as I said, getting your Bible open, having them, tell them, let's go outside, let's lay down, let's watch the clouds go by. Tell me what you see. And talk to God and talk to them. Lord, show us something great. Show us something fun. And God will do that. He's faithful to do that. Number three, being a Christian while being a parent. A Christian parent directs the child toward the Lord. That's what we are to be doing as parents. It's directing the child toward the Lord at all times. As a parent, I am developing a God dependence in that child. We want our children to be dependent upon God. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Are you going through stuff right now in life? Who is not going through stuff right now in life? To a degree, you can shield your kids. There's stuff that your kids should not know. But there's some stuff that maybe your kids ought to know. And include them in on praying. Is it your job? Is it a health issue? And it's been deemed wise in your opinion that, okay, let's share it with them. Let's include them in this. And let them in. Let them see God work. Always direct them toward the Lord. Daddy, what are we going to do about this? You know what, son? We're going to trust the Lord. This is what we're going to do. And you include them. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Bible, the Word of God, and in his law he meditates in it day and night. He shall be, watch this, that man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, it will prosper. Okay, church, class, listen. Grab Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, and you read that to your kids as a parent, and you say, you know what, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to do this. All right? This is what we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to plant us. And you pray. Deuteronomy 5, 6 verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 6 verses 5 and 6 says this, and tell this to your children. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And so, Junior, we want to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Being a Christian parent. See, we'll buy 100 books on Christian parenting, and we'll read them all, and it doesn't change anything. But if we take just God's word and actually act upon it, take that verse, you say, Jack, you want me to take Deuteronomy chapter 6? It's in the Old Testament. You want me to show that to my kid? Read it to them. And then go do that thing. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, watch this. You say, how do I do that? When it says to teach them in the way and to talk to them. I'm going to give you four things I think is important. Are you guys with me? Are you guys awake? Are we here together tonight? Okay. Okay. Number one, mom, dad, I think this is important. Include your children in what's happening at your church. Maybe you're visiting from some other church. And you're here tonight. I don't care where you go. Just include your kids and share with them about what's happening at your church. Do you know what? Watch this. You take Susie and you take Johnny and you say, hey, you know what? We are going to pray for our missionaries in Mali. Okay? We're going to take their little bookmark from the counter out there in the hallway. And we are going to pray for them for 1 month. Okay, kids? We're going to do that. Involve your children in your church. It's absolutely vital. It's absolutely essential. Number two, include them in on the worship at your church. Hey, Mikey, we worship God in the main sanctuary real loud. And we sing and we lift our hands. What are you guys doing in your kids' class? How's it going? And then, oh, that's what you do. You know what? Let's try it here at home right now. Let's sing. Let's put on this You know, record, man, we had all these little things when the kids were growing up, and it was, it's like, I'm sure if somebody lived next door to us, they thought we were nuts. You have all these little kiddie songs, but you know what? Those songs are in our heads still. In fact, those of us who were on Israel trip, Lisa was singing some of those kiddie songs to the poor people on that bus. I mean, it sticks in your head. And you want to do that. Parenting. It's not some secret thing like, I'm the parent, you're the kid. That's your world and this is mine. I pay the bills and you ride the tricycle. It's a family. And I'm not saying that your kid should know how much your mortgage is. Give him a heart attack. It'd kill the kid. It's killing you. But that's how you teach them to have a God dependency. You want them to be dependent upon God, not so dependent upon us. You say, well, Jack, are you crazy? I'm their parent. Yeah, not, we're not forgetting that. But listen, my wife blew me away when we first had Rebecca and Lisa started homeschooling Rebecca. I thought I was totally against that. I thought she was nuts. And back then, homeschooling, I think, was, I don't know, I think George Washington had just gotten out of homeschool back then or something. But it's like, what? Are we going to go to jail? And she stuck to it. And you know what she said? And I've never forgotten it. Lisa said, you know what? I will not see the fruit of what I'm investing in Rebecca's life and Ashley's life right now. I don't expect to see this fruit for about 20 to 30 years. What? Absolutely amazing to me. To include them and to teach them in the way of the Lord and not make it such a big deal, but to just make it a day-to-day thing in life. Maybe you're a brand new Christian or you're new to the faith and it's like, Jack, how do I start this? My kid's 17. That's coming up. But there's a way. So many families like never before. Right now, parents are probably sitting here tonight saying, Jack, I can't even get my kid. I can't get 30 seconds of my kid's attention at home. There's a way. You pray. You ask God for wisdom. Mom, Dad, you can get through to your kid. First of all, it's God's will, and He will help you to reach your child with the love of God. So listen, number one is let them know what's happening at your church. Number two, about worship. Get them to be worshipers. Number three, include them in on the teaching. Ask them, what was your class about? Hey, Mikey, what did you learn today in your Sunday school class? And let him tell you. Let her tell you what they're learning. And then tell them, do you know what? We're still trying to figure out what Pastor Jack said. No, I mean, tell them what happened. I'm joking, but maybe not. But you tell them on Sunday, well, this is what we learned. What did you learn? Get a dialogue going. See, the danger is you and I go to church, and then the church is over, and we get in the car, and we put the radio onto the game. And church just evaporates. Whatever we were learning and doing evaporates right out before we ever get home. We need to discuss it. We need to meditate on it and talk about it. And then this is something that I learned from my wife. Lisa had this going on in her life as a Christian. I did not grow up as a Christian. But number four, because it was such an amazing conviction to me, and it was natural for her, and that is to include them in giving at your church. Giving in any way, a nickel. She had like a quarter or whatever she got when she was a little tiny kid. She learned, her parents taught her from the beginning, you tithe to the Lord. And you say, well, man, I don't know. That's really weird to have a kid. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's an act of worship. It's commanded in Scripture. And the bottom line is it tests our hearts. I have heard people saying, man, times are really tough. I can't give God anything right now. Don't ever go there. Don't ever do that. Even if it's a nickel, give him a nickel. Because here's the problem about teaching our children tithing or giving or serving. I don't care what it is. But giving back to God. If we are not teaching our children how to give back to God, they will grow up to be very, very self-centered. And they will grow up to be in love with things instead of the God who gave them those things. Whenever we cannot put a nickel in the offering, it's because, you know what? We have an idol in our life. It's a very serious issue. And when I met my wife, and our first date was to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I had gone there for about a year and a half. They passed the plate. Plate went by, and I was making big money. They passed the plate and went right by. And she said, what did you just do? I said, what? She goes, you didn't put anything in there. And I said, well, hello, look around. Like, they don't need anything. And she goes, you've messed it up completely. You don't even know what you're talking about. She said, it has nothing to do with that. And man, I tell you, I got so convicted. Include your children on giving, serving. If it's taking a can of beans to the homeless, serving, giving. That's directing them toward the Lord. That's number three. Number four is this. A Christian parent is to be an example. Exemplifies the Christian life. Christian parents, this is what we need to do. We need to be examples to them. And maybe, listen, you might be thinking, man, I don't know. I think I've ruined this too much already. Watch this. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Okay, we need to esteem them, others, in the Lord, okay? How often do we think of those kinds of verses applying to our children? And I believe it should apply to our kids first. Oh, the Bible says that we need to esteem others. Who are those others? As parents, we need to apply that to our kids. You say, what do you mean, esteem my kid? That scripture would mean that you are to encourage your child, that you are to be a blessing to your child. It doesn't mean that you exalt your child like they're the king of the house. No. It means to bless their life, to be a blessing to them. And as Christian examples, you and I are going to be an example as a parent to them, no matter what we're doing right now. You say, Jack, I feel like I've blown it so bad. But listen, here's the great thing. You can go to your kid right now. You say, well, like you said a moment ago, he's 17 years old. You can go to your 17-year-old and you can say this. Now, listen. You can say, listen, son, I have not been a good Christian witness to you. I have failed you in pointing you towards Christ. And I just want you to know that I'm sorry for that. I ask you for your forgiveness regarding that. What I have said and done in this relationship of ours maybe over the years was not right. And you guys, maybe tonight you're saying, Pastor Jack, I could never say that to my kid. Why not? Well, I'm afraid that he might abuse that kind of humility that I might show. You know, you don't worry about that. Do the right thing and let God take care of it. Amen. There may be a daughter who's so hurt, she doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. Because she equates your relationship with her relationship with God. I'm not going to talk to God because my dad won't talk to me. My dad was mean to me, thus I think God is mean to me. You know how many broken hearts are like that? But you know how fast, because God is gracious and kind, if you say, you know what, sweetie? I have been wrong. I've been arrogant. I've been proud. I've been too busy to listen. I'm so sorry. I took advantage of you. I listened to everybody else. And then when I got home, I just kicked off my shoes and turned on the TV. And I didn't listen. I should have listened to you about your gymnastics or your prom night or your whatever. I'm so sorry. God has made life much more enduring than we think. That will touch her heart. She may break down. She might say, that's right, you hurt me bad. And she might storm off to her room. But guess what? I promise you this. The healing has begun. It's never too late. You will always be that parent. And sometimes the greatest mess ups in life, when repented of and when confessed, God will use that and there'll be a great move in that family's life. I fear that we might, and I'm not saying you and I personally, I'm just saying we as a culture, maybe we've gotten too proud to humble ourselves and say, you know what? I was wrong. That's a bad place to be if we can't admit that. It's an arrogant place to be. I told you guys before about a recent MTV poll. Worldwide MTV internet poll. And those young people voted overwhelmingly that the most important thing regarding their future was to have a family that stayed together. Wow. Number five, a Christian parent is ordained as the parent. All right, ushers, guard the doors. This won't go over well. Listen carefully. You need to hear this. As parents, we are to be used by God in developing our child to have respect for God. Now listen to this. Mom and dad, when your kids are really super young, until they meet the Lord personally and their own conversion to Christ, listen, mom and dad is like God to that little kid. And that little kid, that's the way God has made it. Did you know that? That's why, I told you before, that's why kids boast about their parents the way that they do when they're young. Little guys believe that their dad is stronger than Superman. Little girls believe that their mommy is more beautiful than whoever is the most beautiful. God has engineered that. That special influence. And parents, you have been ordained to be a parent. Listen, shocker. You have not been called to be their best friend. Parents somehow think, oh, I'm not much of a parent, not home much, not whatever much, so I'll be their friend. And that's a psychological game. It's not reality. You are their parent, not their best friend. They need a parent. People have to have best friends, I guess, you know. But you're their parent. It doesn't mean you can't have fun with them. Have fun with them. But listen, you are their parent. You are their protector. You are their teacher. You are their guide, according to the Bible. You are their comforter. Did you know that? There are people that think, you know what? My daughter and I, we have just this totally cool relationship. And they dress alike. They talk alike. They're just the best of friends. And listen, that is a mixture for disaster because you're not two girlfriends. You're her parent. And that doesn't mean you can't have fun and do all the stuff you're talking about. But there's times when, mom, you got to put your hand on your hip and you say, sweetie, listen, that guy's not good for you. And I'm telling you now. But if you're more concerned about being her friend, you'll never be able to guide her and protect her and watch over her and parent her. And that's a serious thing. Same thing goes for the guys. Oh, my son and I were just the best of friends. That's awesome. But are you his father? Son, now sit down. I got to tell you something. She's not good for you. Or whatever it might be. The Bible says this, Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live a long life on the earth. That sounds funny, huh? It's like if you disobey your parents, you're not going to live a long life on the earth. God is saying, the word of God is saying, obey your parents and the Lord will bless your life. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 21, listen to this. Fathers, do not provoke your kids. Don't provoke your children. The word in Greek is don't pick a fight with your kids. Don't provoke them. The word also means don't stir up the water and make it murky with your kids. Scares them. Lest they become discouraged. The word is athumeia. The word means spiritless. Isn't this? Listen to this. This is powerful. Fathers, do not pick a fight with your children, stir up the water, confuse them and scare them, lest they become spiritless, broken, or numb of heart. Brokenhearted. Isn't that the Bible wise? Isn't that awesome? Number six, as parents, we're developing a value system. So number six is, as a Christian parent, listen, a Christian parent knows their child the best. I believe that a Christian parent, in praying for that child, God will speak to that mom and dad about that kid, and whereby we grant to them, we instill within them, we impart to them a value system that God will use mightily. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. We all know this verse. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. What's interesting about that verse is very, very awesome. We often miss the meaning of that verse. That verse screams, parents, you know your kids the best. More than anybody else on the planet. And when the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go, check it out. This is what it means. It means to study your child's person. To study your child. Imagine taking out a magnifying glass and studying your child like a project. Know that kid. How many of you have two children or more? Raise your hand. Two kids or more? Okay. They came from the same place. Right? How can they be so different? Have you noticed that if you have one, that's one way, the second one is the other way? This one's quiet, this one's loud. This one sits and thinks, this one never sits and thinks. This one's, always this way, this one's always that way. How does that happen? God. It's the snowflake thing. There's never two kids the same. And so some people say, that's why we only have one. We just had the one. But listen, a value system instilled in a person, in a child, is extremely important. And God has given that task for us to do, to know the child the best and to study that child. And you watch this. Train up a child in the way that he should go. You know what that means? You find out, what do they like? Now watch this. You find out, what does she like? Have you noticed when you're watching your little baby, no matter how young, you study them. And if you notice that there's certain things about them, as they get a little bit older, they're crawling now and they'll gravitate to certain things. Watch all that. Study that. Mom, dad, watch it. And there's certain things that they seem to always be doing this one, or this child always seems to be doing the other thing. Find out what it is. What are their tendencies? Watch what they do. Why? Why does the Bible says to study that child, train them up in the way that they should go. That is in the Lord. Point them. They seem to have a hunger and a passion for detail. Then stoke that. Maybe they're not really great in math. You can help them out in that. But they're really good in art. Don't discourage them. Study them, know them, and promote them in the way of art. Maybe they like to dig and find stuff. Then get them little books on Indiana Jones, the archaeology series of his for children, and whatever. It's like, wow, find out what they love. I want to show you a clip. Before they start this clip, let me explain it. It's a clip of Wayne Bartholomew. He is a one-time world surfing champion. He's a surfing legend. He's almost 60 years old now. Parents, listen up carefully. We'll probably end with this time-wise. But I don't know anything about his spiritual life, if he even has one. But I want you to notice the impact. I want you to watch his chin. I want you to look at his eyes. And I want you to see the impact of this child. He has parents or had parents, and he lived a life that deeply affected him. And yet I want to argue with you tonight that what you'll see on the screen in a moment is something that you and I can repeat in our own lives. Maybe it's a different topic. Maybe it's a different situation. But Wayne Bartholomew is going to share with you, if you're listening carefully, his family broke up when he was young. And you would think, after all the money he has made and his fame and his age, he's, like I said, almost 60 now, that this would no longer be a factor. And so I want you to take a look at the screens. I don't know if we dim the lights or whatever, but we'll talk about it just for a moment afterwards, and then we'll wrap it up. But watch this, if you would. It's powerful.
I had a vision of where I wanted to get to. So in that way, I was probably going probably maybe a bit harder than everyone. And, you know, maybe it was just the fact that I was a bit hungrier and, you know, just my background and that I really wanted to make something of my life. And, you know, I groomed myself. And I felt like I was really kind of, in that regard, on my own mission.
Australia's Gold Coast had high-rise luxury at one end and beat-up boarding houses and beach shacks at the other. The world-class waves and pinball parlors were enough to keep any young Gold Coaster occupied.
Well, I grew up in a place called the Southern Gold Coast. So, you know, my father's a school teacher, and my mother taught ballet, and I've got four sisters, and we lived in Tweed Heads. And then when I was about 11, my family broke up, and my mother and my four sisters and I moved to Rainbow Bay, which was right on the beach near Snapper Rocks, and I got into surfing. And once I found surfing, I knew my life changed. I knew I could be, you know, one of the best. I knew I could be a world champion. Even though there was no such thing as world champion, I just knew that it was something that would take me to the top. Growing up was pretty tough. There wasn't much money, so I became pretty much the male in the family, and at times the breadwinner. You know, we were actually in desperate poverty. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. But I kind of had to raise my sisters, and I started stealing, and I remember one. There was this one Friday, and my mother said, "There's no more food." And so I went and got some money, and I put $20 on the table, and we were so desperate that, you know, she didn't ask where it came from. It was just like it was just like we were celebrating, you know, like tonight we're gonna have Chico rolls. And it wasn't the right thing to do, but at the time it was just something I had to do. We still had to do it tough for a lot of more years after that. And you know, surfing was, to me, something that I could lose myself in. And it was my escape.
You hear that? Surfing is where he could lose himself in that. And see how touching that was to him. After all of those years, did you hear him say, I've watched this clip a few times, did you hear him say, when I was 11, he knew exactly when his age was, when his parents split up. He knew exactly where they moved to. He said that I became the breadwinner of the home. He said he could remember what they were going to have for dinner that night that he stole the $20 from however, wherever, chicken and rolls. He said it was a Friday night that was the night she said, "We don't have any food." Look how he's able to recount that fast. The man now lives where? I do not know. Does he have children? I didn't take the time to look. But I would love to be able to ask him, and how you were brought up and what you went through, how is it with your kids? And I bet you he's doing everything or did everything he could to make it different for his kids, don't you think? And that's true for any parent, I would hope and think. You don't have to be a Christian parent to want what's best for your kids, what's better even for your kids. But notice in his pain, the family broke up and these things followed. And today, Christian homes break up and it's the kids who pay the price. It's always the children who pay the price. But I just want to encourage tonight, we develop a value system with our kids and we communicate to them. And we want to communicate to them that no matter what happens, God is number one in our lives. And we're going to make it. Because kids have a lot of fears today. And when we complain and when we grumble or when we panic about this or that, it's communicated to them. They hear that. Mom and dad, what we want to do is begin tonight to communicate to our kids that God is bigger. But Jack, my kids are old and gone now. That's why God invented telephones and cell phones. That we would really call them up and say, you know what, and use the service as an excuse. Say, you know, I was at church tonight and I saw this video clip and I'm just calling you. I know we haven't talked in a long time, but I know you don't want to hear me talk about God, and I'm not going to talk about God. I'm just going to ask you, and you don't have to forgive me. I'm just asking for your forgiveness. I'm sorry. Or you can communicate to them, to your parents, what you need to. But I'm a strong believer, and no matter what's happened, no matter how much Lisa and I have failed at parenting, or how much you feel that you have failed at parenting, you can always, always say, you know what, Junior, you know what, Susie, we messed up. And we want you to know that we love you. And we want to just rewind that part of our lives. We're sorry for that. It'd be a great healing. We'll pick it up next week because we're out of time and I wanted to leave that clip. That's a powerful clip, is it not? Father, we come to you tonight and Lord, heavy stuff. Lord, we pray tonight that you would touch our hearts. And I pray, Father, that as children, maybe tonight we're here and we're thinking as children that we're this way or that way because of our parents. And to some degree, some great, some small, I don't know, that may be the case. But Lord, now that we're older, your Bible is still the eternal living word. And whatever those negative things and dangerous things and horrific things have been in our lives, we're asking you, Lord, tonight to move in the midst of our soul and set free that part of us that needs to be set free. Maybe there's young men in here tonight or old men in here tonight. Young girls or older women who have scars that no man knows about. No one knows. And maybe those scars were put there by a parent. And Father, I'm asking that the power of your word, like balm, would be applied to that hurt right now. No one needs to confess it. No one needs to shout it out. No one needs to write a book about it. We're just here tonight, Lord, asking you to heal brokenness. Maybe when people tonight hear just the title of father or mother, there's a hatred and an anger that has raged inside. And tonight's the night that it dies, my friend, in your life. It's over now. It is the will of God that you no longer be held captive by that. Maybe there's broken dreams tonight. I know as a parent, there's the dreams of maybe if we would have had more money to do this or more time to do the other or that opportunity to spend just one more year with that son or daughter, or if it was just one more day we could have with them, if we could take something back and rewind for the moment. All of us have that. And the Lord no longer wants us to be controlled by regret. Some of you tonight are here and you've been living under the cloud because you've done the best you could, and there is no perfect parent, and your child is now grown up and has turned into an absolute mess, and you're blaming yourself. And it's time to stop that now too. That's over. Your child is old enough now to turn to God on their own. The same gracious, wonderful help that wants to be applied to your life and to free you from your past is the same wonderful, gracious, powerful help that wants to help your son or daughter who is now off living their life. He's the same God, my friend. His word knows no limits. There is no boundary to the power of his word to heal. Whatever it is tonight, you need to, in your mind, take it to the word of God, take it to the cross and set it at the foot of the cross and tell the Lord tonight, Lord, I am leaving the anger, the pain, the hurt, the resentment, the bitterness, the regret, the broken dreams, the broken hopes, the only ifs and the how comes. And Lord, some of that anger I lay at the cross tonight, perhaps you've directed it at God himself. Where were you when there was the abuse? I don't know the answer to that. I just know that nothing is greater than his ability to heal. And whatever this world, listen, whatever this world and what anyone can do to us, God is still the Redeemer, and he changes things and he turns them around. And for those of you who have been hurt and offended and broken the most, or mom and dad, you feel like you have failed the most at parenting, he turns things around. Will you let him do that now? And let him explain it to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would sweep across this sanctuary with the wave of your Holy Spirit, that the breath and the breeze of your Spirit, Lord, would infuse new life into our brothers and sisters tonight. And Lord, for those who have been unable even to love their own children properly because of their own past, that would change tonight. Lord, that you would heal homes, relationships, moms, dads, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. And we look to you only now to be our touch, our healing, our strength.